that we should have paid excess for a lot of this luggage in Kenya. And they just waved us through and we didn't have to pay. And it could have cost, you know, $150, you know, American dollars. But the Lord just, I mean, there was no question. They just waved us through. And so we were really just praising God for getting that luggage there and without us having to pay any excess. Oh, sorry. So what did we do whilst we were there? Well, we did all sorts of amazing things. I had two quite spectacular falls in front of staff and students at the school. So I had a massive fall on the ground twice, which was quite interesting. They didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Help me up or, you know, keep me down. I'm not sure what they were going to do with me. But, you know, it's rough. It's a rough place to, you know, to be. And, you know, uneven, you know, all the time. But some of the things that we did were that we actually worked among the preschool and the nursery kids. And we just had a marvellous time with them. And we took the Easter story and had complete freedom just to share with them. And we made Easter bonnets with them and we made various other things. But our main purpose was that we would just share with them, these young kids, the Easter story. And we had such freedom. It was just wonderful. And just telling the kids that they were loved and that they were cared for and that God loved them was a really important part of, you know, everything that we did. This is me just outside the schoolroom, and they all, you know, they all just wanted to come and say goodbye to you and shake hands and, you know, cling to you. And, you know, it was great to feel that you actually had a part to play. Because for me, I didn't know what I was going to. And if I'm brutally honest, I didn't know where I fitted into the team. And I went just to make up the numbers in a way. Well, that's what I felt. But God had very other, you know, very different ideas. And then we took some time with some of the older kids and we were asked to produce a poster that they could copy or use as a, you know, an example. And so the He Is Risen is the poster that we did for the kids to, you know, just use as a template for them to do other posters for the school. And we had a, you know, a great time just sharing the Easter story with them, you know, in a number of groups. And then I'm handing over to Mandy as we get started with the new sports equipment.
So I think one of the things we shared with you before we went was that Andrew's school did some fundraising for Hope and Kindness and we'd liaised with the charities to see what would be the best use of that money, and they said sports equipment. That was some of the stuff we took in our luggage. Terry and Judy had taken some with them as well when they went. They'd come back over here at Christmas time and taken some back. So one of the things that we did on two of the afternoons, but also we did with the early years group and also with the Sunday school, was we did some sports activities with the new equipment. Never seen such excitement on their faces when we got the new footballs and the netballs out and the relay stuff. It was a joy to see, really, and they were so, so grateful for everything that we'd brought with us. So this is just a picture of the day that we handed everything out. I don't know whether you might want to say anything about some of these pictures.
We had netballs, we had footballs, we had, I think it was
hockey sticks.
Hockey sticks and little
cones.
Cones.
I can't get this to
The little balls were purple, that big. Not big, but
lots of things. I'm afraid I can't get this to change for some reason. Is it stuck, Craig? That's it.
That's the netballs, what we bought. Some I did pump up because they wasn't ready in the suitcase. It took me ages.
Craig, I'm afraid this isn't working. Can you just skip? Can you just take us through these slides?
But this, where they did the relay race, they're pretty fast. At least, I had a go. I nearly tripped over. They didn't have any shoes on.
As you can see, they run with bare feet, and the ground is incredibly rough. If anybody's into health and safety in the room, honestly, you'd have to shut your eyes at this point because it was a bit hairy at a few points. But
this where they run with a relay and then go back.
Yeah, so we had lots of races, didn't we? This is what are you doing here, Andrew? Three-legged race. So Andrew was demonstrating the three-legged race to the children, which was quite amusing. No, we've lost control of this, I'm afraid. That's it.
These are the little kids. We did some mini games with them when the big kids went in. And then...
What did Keith decide? Keith decided that I should demonstrate how to do the sack race. So I wasn't too impressed about that because Keith just stood there and watched and took photographs.
Half of the day I did with the little kids. But yeah, and these are the young kids who come here and stay and have food. And two of them, I can't see them.
Well, tell them about the little boy that you sat next to.
I've got a friend called Denzel. He sponsors me.
No, you sponsor. Yeah, we sponsor him. The other way around.
Yeah. And then he's quite nice. We saw his family over the muddy road. It's not a long walk, but it was like we can walk far and them, and they can't because they have to walk a mile from their homes. You don't know which way.
Some of them have a very long way to walk, don't they? Denzel actually only has to walk about half an hour to get to school.
But his family.
Yeah. So it, that was a very nice moment, really, for Andrew to be able to meet Denzel, that we've been supporting for a couple of years now. So it was really nice to be able to meet him and his family, who, as Keith has already said, their house between... She's a widow, and she's got three children, but her mud hut was probably smaller than the kitchen that we have here. And we sat inside there for about 10 minutes, and it's actually, you know, quite cold. I say cold. It's got a cold feel, but it's very hot, if you know what I mean, and very dark.
Yeah. But they had one bedroom with a curtain. All the kids slept with the mom, and then we had to talk. We said part.
I don't know what you're going to say.
Okay. last year, they had a house, a massive house, I think, building. And then, sadly, these men burnt their house, and now they live in a mud hut.
So, Denzel's father died in quite difficult circumstances, and there was a lot of problems within the family, and as a result they burnt the house down that they burnt the house down that they were living in, so basically Denzel's mum and the three children became homeless at that point.
They don't have much food like us. We eat a lot of food, don't we? Yeah, we eat apples, fruit and everything, but they don't have much because the kids have to work, and some days the kids have to work with their mum, and then they get paid. I don't know whether I think they get paid.
Not really,
not
no.
Not really.
No.
But we bought some money. I think we gave it to Terry. Then they've got maize and
beans
and that. They love it.
Yeah. Thank you. So a few of the things that we did, really. I think we did spend a lot of time with the children and young people in the children's home. We got to speak at the Christian Union. We got to speak in the assembly at school. So we had lots of opportunity, really, to talk to the young people about our faith. But also the children and young people in the children's home, a lot of them have very strong faiths themselves. And they really inspired us, and we came back feeling very blessed by them and by the staff there. So the last few slides on here really are just a few of the lives that have been changed by Hope and Kindness during the time. We've just picked out a couple. Craig, sorry, you'll have to do it for us. So do you want to say anything about Wycliffe and Collins, Keith?
Wycliffe and Collins, They came to Hope and Kindness via the district children's office because the neighbours had been noticing that things weren't going on well at home. They were 6 and 2 when they went to Hope and Kindness. There'd been great hardship in the area due to drought and all sorts of other things, and so they were sent to Hope and Kindness for emergency care. Their mother had died at the end of 2005, and the father was reported because he had abused and neglected the children. And when the children's office found them, they were locked into a building, they had been beaten, and they were malnourished. There was a warrant for the father, but he was never found. But during the time that they've been at Hope and Kindness, they have just flourished, and they've grown. Collins was, the younger one, was in a worse state than his brother. And you can still see that he's still working through some of the issues. He's very, very quiet. But they both have a really vibrant faith and are a really encouraging people to be around. But these are just, you know, a small family. And yet this can be replicated so many more times, you know, in this area and throughout Kenya. And so we can just highlight a few. And Winnie, their sister, also joined them in 2014. But they're an incredible family. And they really did encourage us. And we felt really privileged just to spend time with them.
So this is just another one of the young girls that we met when we were there. And I'd seen her pictures on the display board that Jean had very kindly lent me on a number of occasions to use. So there's a little girl called Grace. When she arrived at Hope and Kindness, as you can see from the way her face is bloated, she was very malnourished and very weak at that stage. Can we go to the next one? So that's her first day at Hope and Kindness, and then on the next slide you'll see the progression, really. So that's Grace today, and that's a photograph that I took of Grace. And so she's been at Hope and Kindness for quite a while now, but is really thriving and has one of the most infectious giggles in the world. We took some balloons with us just for the, you know, to be able to play with the children and young people. And they had so much fun with it. And Grace just was in hysterics giggling. So she's a beautiful young lady. Very small for her age, but she's really thriving now. And then just wanted to lastly tell you about Hope. You saw the picture of Hope earlier with the other little girl, Phoebe, who are now 2.5. But Hope's story is probably one of the most dramatic, really, in terms of the children and young people at Hope and Kindness. One of the workers, one of the dormitory mums from the children's home, had been walking not far from her home and heard a baby crying. So she was searching around in the bushes because she was convinced the noise was coming from the bushes. She couldn't find anything, so she prayed to God to help him to help her to find where this baby was. And eventually she found little baby Hope, who had clearly, her mother had clearly given birth to her and then just abandoned her in the bush. We think she'd been there for about 6 or 7 hours. It was 6 o'clock in the evening by the time that she was found. Obviously no shawl on her or anything, just completely naked in the bush. And they do have wild dogs and mongoose in that area. So it was amazing, really, that she was still alive at that stage. And also it was the rainy season, and the day before, the heavens had opened apparently at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There'd been a horrendous thunderstorm, and on this particular day there wasn't. So it was a miracle, really. They took Hope to the local police station, and because Priscilla worked at Hope and Kindness, they agreed that was the right place to take her. And she's been there ever since. And as you can see from the other picture, she's really...
What a happy little
kiddie. She's a very happy little girl and thriving now. But Phoebe also arrived within three weeks of Hope being there. And a different story again, but which we can tell you another